catastrophe deals with a last verse of chapter 12. And that book, and what he's going to take up tomorrow night, cleared up a problem I've had with 1 Corinthians 12 for years, and I never knew quite what to do with the word covet the best gift. Never knew what to do with it, and it was his book that gave me the insight to that verse. Now, we're not going to go into that in questions tonight, because he didn't cover it yet. We'll do that tomorrow night. Are there any questions? If not, we're going to dismiss. Okay, there's one back there, I believe, too. You just take a minute or two. Thank you, Brother Sutton. The question is, this is might be a difficult question for you, but here we go. Why, in the light of such clear scripture, do many true Christians get caught up in the tongues movement?
I guess I can answer that personally, because, as some of you know, I was born in the movement. I was raised in it. I was trained in it. I graduated from one of those schools. I was about to return to my class, which is merely said just to show you that at least I wasn't on the outside. And nobody ever taught me these scriptures. We looked at these chapters, but we never looked at them in depth. We never looked at them as the way Paul said it. We approached it from our experience, beginning with the experience, worked back to scripture to find verses that would fit and confirm the experience, rather than beginning with the scripture and putting the experience in the crucible of the Word of God. And that is the mistake that most people make. To assume the Christians in this country today are well taught in scripture is to make an assumption that is completely unwarranted. We are not. I am absolutely flabbergasted to get into many places where people haven't the foggiest notion of what the New Testament even says. In fact, I find many places where I announce certain scriptures, I have to wait for them to put the pages on stuff. And even if they know what it says, nobody has ever put it in its contextual framework. And this, perhaps, is the greatest problem we have today, is people picking isolated verses out of Scripture and saying, doesn't the Bible say? Well, of course it says it, but it says it in a context, and the context makes all the difference as to what it means. Let me illustrate this way. My oldest daughter lives in Houston, Texas, and I come home one day, and my wife is standing in the kitchen reading a letter with tears rolling down her cheeks, and I say, what's the matter? And she says, I just got this letter from Daddy. And she said, something terrible has happened. Now, what's the matter? Jim has left. Betty. No, yes, here it is. The Bible says, and she's got it underlined. There's the verse. Jim has just left. Now, that is the way people teach the scripture. I say, wait a minute. Let's look at the context. So I go back to the beginning of the paragraph, and she says, I was doing some baking for supper tonight. I ran out of milk, and Jim has just left to go to the store to get me some. The context makes a lot of difference. But Christians treat the Bible in this shabby way. And inevitably, and on the question periods, and I'm amazed that you don't have more, the question periods, they come up with these isolated verses, doesn't the Bible say? Yes, it says it. But it says it as part of the context. So all we try to do is give you the total picture. Then fit your verse into that picture, and it does make a great deal of difference as to what it actually says in the long run. I was raised on a systematic theology which took a few verses from Acts, one or two from here, with a Greek, but many of these verses I was simply never shown. And I was a preacher, and still had never been shown these verses or ever learned them for myself.
There's another question or two here, brother. The question is, what is the tense of the form of the verb be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, and what does it mean?
Well, the verb be, whether we be bond or free, is that the one
you're
talking about?
Are.
We are all baptized. It's complete. It is complete. It is a finished work. Not something that continues, not something I speak, but a finished work. Verse 13. What Paul described is something that happened The moment I was placed in the body of Christ, and this is how it happened. That's the tense of it. That's the meaning of it. Not something to be thought, but something that is already a positional fact. I have been baptized into the body of Christ for the very moment I was born again. Now, if you want to see that, remember the rule of biblical interpretation. Find the same author speaking on the same subject, in this case the body, using the same terminology, and turn to Ephesians chapters 1 through 4. Here's the same author, Paul, speaking on the same subject, the body of Christ, talking about the same thing, and notice who he says is in the body. Verse 1 of chapter 1, the saints. Verse 3, those that are seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Verse 4, those that have been chosen in him. Verse 7, those that have redemption through his blood. Verse chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the crowd that he's talking about. No more strangers and foreigners. Verse 19 of chapter 2. In chapter 3, we Gentiles received into the body of Christ. Chapter 4, I therefore, in the light of this, Paul says, beseech you that you walk worthy. No unbeliever can ever walk worthy before God. It has to be a saint, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. I am in the body of Christ by the redemption of his blood, by his grace, through faith, because I have received the Savior and have been placed there. Same writer, Paul, same subject, the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, 12, and 13, he tells me how God did it. He put me there by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are those who say, well, until you have received this subsequent work, you're not in the body of Christ. That is not according to the New Testament. That flatly contradicts what Paul writes in Ephesians. You have to choose between modern people and the Apostle Paul. I'll take Paul anytime. Just take the same writer, same subject, put them together, and you get the total of what he's talking about.
Another question. Since God has gifted every member, why are we not more aware of our individual gifts?
That's a good question, and I'm sure it's one that grieves the heart of God. I would say several things. Number one, we've never been taught to be aware of. As I said in the morning session this morning, I am grateful for one thing today, and that is that no longer are you looked upon as some kind of a nut when you talk about spiritual gifts. A few years ago, that was the fact. If you went into the average fundamental evangelical or orthodox church in America and began to talk about spiritual gifts, they'd have an elders' meeting to get you out real quick, because that simply wasn't done. That was not acceptable. Today, it is acceptable, and I am grateful for that. Because Paul, in Romans chapter 12, talks about the gifted believers. And there in those opening verses gives us how we can know and develop our gifts. Remember that verses 1, 2, and 3 of Romans 12 are not just text for a dedication meeting. They are preliminary to verses 4 through 8, which speaks about spiritual gifts. And the apostle says, number one, you've got to present your body to the Lord, presentation. Secondly, there's got to be separation from the world. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Or there's got to be some transformation in your life, but be ye transformed, metamorphized is the word, by the renewing of your mind. And in verse 3, don't think too high and don't think too low. In other words, think soberly. Having presented yourself, having separated from sin and worldliness, having had your mind set changed by the work of God, the renewing of your mind, then neither think too high, oh God, you're to be congratulated because you got me, or too low, I can't do anything. Make yourself available and start probing your opportunities for service and let God open the doors, and he will. And you will discover many ways in which your gifts can be used. I remember a dear old lady in my boyhood. Her husband had left her and run away some years before. He had left her bankrupt and without any form of support whatsoever. She had come to Christ, and when I met her first, she was well up in years. She lived her life with the gift of health. Now, nobody ever goes into fractions of praise over the gift of health. But here is a woman who did that. If there was a mother had a baby, she would move in, do the cooking, scrub the floors, dress the kids, get them off to school, take care of that house with a sweet Christian attitude. She was a helper. When the mother was on her feet, she'd move over, nurse somebody who was sick. Never take a dime for it. And she spent her whole life doing this. She said, I have one gift, the gift of health, and I intend to use it until either I die or the Lord comes. Now, here she was, nondescript, nobody knew her, little old lady. She just moved from house to house and family to family and so forth. But I want to tell you something. When that little old lady died, and she died in a borrowed bed in a room that had been given to her by a kind family who appreciated what they'd done for their son, unsung, in fact, she wasn't even found for 12 hours. But when the word got out, she had one of the largest funerals in the history of that city. People literally came out of the woodwork and said, if it wasn't for her, I would not have had this. I would never have been able to do this, that, and the other. And people said, I found Christ through her. She prayed for me. She supported me. The town was astounded. She was a nonentity, a gift of health. But oh, how blessed. The gift of showing, I'm giving you one of the morning sessions at this point. I better cut this up. The gift of showing mercy. Nobody ever goes into paroxysms of praise over that one either. But it's a very necessary gift. The gift of giving. My treasure would go ace if somebody would start a movement over the gift of giving. Nobody ever starts a giving movement. But nevertheless, it's one of the spiritual gifts. All of these are equally spiritual gifts. Some communicate. Some are sign gifts. We'll come to that tomorrow morning. They have their purpose. The reason for being, and when the reason for being is finished, the gift is finished. Many are service gifts. We'll break them down for you on the overhead tomorrow morning in our study there. But whatever God has given you, it is never to be used for you. It is never to be used for your blessing. It is never to be used for your own ego. It is to be used for the body of Christ, and for its health, and for its welfare. I don't know how I got into all that out of one simple question.
Thank you. Are there any other questions that anybody has? That, if you hold up the card quickly. I don't see any, Mr. Sutton. I don't.
That's the first
thing
tomorrow.
Right. And the sign gift tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And we follow the same plan in the morning. There'll be 45 minutes of ministry, followed by any questions that anyone may happen to have on the ministry. You may ask them. Or we prefer them written out in order that we can get the question on the tape. If you were to ask a question from all the way in the back, the mic would not pick it up. And when a person plays the tape, they'd hear an answer but wouldn't have the question. And we're trying to keep them both together for the benefit of those who want to follow the ministry on tape. We praise God for Brother Gardner and his clear ministry of the Word of God. And we're looking forward to tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. I'm grieved that tomorrow is Wednesday already. And he'll be making a tape at radio station WHPE tomorrow afternoon. So we have a full day planned tomorrow. Be much in prayer. Invite your friends to come along. We still have a little room. We can fill the seats behind us. And we can put some extra chairs up here and some in the aisle. Don't be afraid to invite your friends. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Now, our Father, in thy divine providence, thou hast gifted thy people as it has pleased thee. We bless thee, our Father, that you are too wise to ever make a mistake. You did not make a mistake when you gave that woman that we heard about the gift of health. And you do not make a mistake in the way in which you gift us. Help us by thy grace to present our body as a living sacrifice, to be separated from the world, and to know what it is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and to discern what thy good and perfect and complete will is for us. And we pray that through the study of thy word these days, we'll be more like our blessed Lord. We're conscious of the fact that there are statements in thy word that leave us breathless. Two of them are, he loved me. And the other is,
I shall be like him. Oh, Father, dismiss us with these thoughts, and may it be so in our lives, for we pray giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.